It is with sadness, resting in Christ's victory, that we announce the passing of Murray Sommer on Saturday, April 20, 2019, at the Brantford General Hospital at the age of 80. Beloved husband of Elizabeth, deceased 2013 for 51 years. And then follow the names of your children and grandchildren. This is the way you have announced the pass away of your father and grandfather. I offer my sincere sympathy to you all with the loss of your dear father, grandfather, brother, and friend. Shall we sing together Psalter 422? The stanzas 8 and 1, it is found in this program as well, also in the Psalter book, which is found in the pew, Psalter 422, the stanzas 8 and 1. Shall we pray? Almighty and merciful Lord, on the morning of this day, we have gathered together with the Summer family to mourn the loss of a dear father, grandfather, brother, uncle, friend, and elder, member of the congregation of Hamilton. As the flower of the field, so he flourished, but the wind has passed over him, and now he is gone. But thy mercy, O Lord, is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear thee. And therefore we have come together to find comfort with thee. And we beseech thee that thou wouldst look upon us in thy mercy. We pray to bless thy word, for no comfort can be found in this world or with man. Thou who art the living one and who hast overcome death are the only one who can help. And we pray that thou wouldst reveal to us who we are and who thou art. And will thou open our ears and hearts for thy word? For thou speakest words of peace and truth. We pray that we may listen and that we may live. We humbly thank thee for all thy blessings, the blessings thou hast given to us, to the children and grandchildren through Murray Summer. He was a man who was always interested in our well-being, and he loved us, and he could do so since he knew of thy undeserved goodness toward him. We thank thee that thou hast enabled him to serve the congregation as an elder, and we pray that thou wouldst bless all the labors done. And now we have to say farewell. We had to say farewell, and Lord, may we find comfort in thee, who art faithful to thy own word and work. May we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. May our eyes be upon thee and sustain them. Yes, will thou remember us in these hours? And now we are called to consider the reality of life and death. Will thou bless thy word and grant us the guidance of thy Spirit, that we all may realize that there is but one step between us and death, and that we need to be saved by thy grace. Lord, we see death, but may we also see thee, Lord Jesus, the Prince of Life, the one who gives life. And may we find our hope and comfort and salvation in thee. Will thou hear us? For Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 89, the verses 1 through 8. Psalm 89, the verses 1 through 8. Maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? So far the reading of the Word of God. The text of the meditation is found in the portion we read, Psalm 81, verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. And before we will listen to the meditation on these words, I will give a brief summary of the meditation in Dutch. For there will also be family, relatives connected with us via the internet. En ook vanaf deze plaats willen we onze oprechte deelneming betuigen met het overlijden van Murray Sommer. De tekst is genomen van Psalm 89, het eerste vers. Zoals we die ook kennen in de berijmde vorm, ik zal eeuwig zingen van Gods goede tierenheden. De psalm is van Ethan. Ethan leefde in de tijd van Salomo en heeft ook meegemaakt dat het rijk van Israël scheurde. Een droevige geschiedenis van Israël. Rehabiam is ongehoorzaam aan de Heere en verbreekt het verbond met de Heere en leidt het volk tot ongehoorzaamheid en afgoderij. En dat is eigenlijk het ergste van die geschiedenis van Israël, dat de ongehoorzaamheid zich ook voortzette door de generaties heen. En onder die omstandigheden schrijft Ethan een psalm over Gods goede tierenheden waarvan hij wil zingen. Dat is niet wat we zouden verwachten. We zouden eerder een klaagzang verwachten. En toch spreekt hij van Gods goede tierenheid. En we vragen ons af, hoe kan dat? Nou, Ethan zingt niet over zichzelf en ook niet over Israël, maar over wie God is. God in zijn goede tierenheid. En de goede tierenheid van God, dat is de goedheid van God die uit hemzelf opkomt. Die wordt niet opgewekt door het volk Israël, door omstandigheden of door mensen, maar dat komt uit het binnenste van God. En dat is het wonder. Dat God redenen neemt uit zichzelf om aan zijn volk te denken en dat hij het goede wil schenken. En dat is de goedheid waar Ethan op leerde hopen. Waar hij zelf ook iets van mocht ervaren. God is goed, ondanks al de ongerechtigheid van het volk. Ondanks al de zonde. En als je daar zicht op krijgt, dan kun je alleen maar verwonderen. God is goed voor een slecht mens. En die goede tierenheid van God is in het bijzonder geopenbaard in zijn Zoon, de Heer Jezus Christus. God heeft zijn enige geboren Zoon gegeven. Hij heeft de straf op de zonde gedragen, weggedragen, zodat Gods volk weer kan leven in gemeenschap met Hem. En dat is het geheim van genade. Dat God naar zondaren omziet in goede tierenheid. En dat is de goede tierenheid waar ook Murray Sommer op heeft leren hopen. En daarom kon hij ook goed spreken van de Heere, want de Heere is goed voor hem geweest. Hoewel hij dat allerminst verdiende. En als je van die goedheid van de Heere mag zien, dan kun je er ook niet anders dan ervan zingen. Dan is er ook het verlangen om eruit te leven. En om ook ten volle de goede tierenheid van de Heere te zingen, waarvan we mogen geloven dat Murray dat nu ook mag doen. Zonder beperking, zonder dat hij gehinderd wordt. Hij heeft de wens verkregen. En waar het op aankomt is dat we zelf ook mogen delen in die goede tierenheid van God. Well, dear children, family, friends and congregation, the last stage of your father and grandfather's life was at times difficult. Unfortunately, I know him only from the last 2.5 years. The first time I met him, he had already a long life behind him. He told me about your mother and grandmother, whom he had loved so much. He also told me about the loss of his youngest son, William, in 1999. And these losses have marked his life. Though he grieved over these losses, it did not make him tired of living. He believed that the Lord gives all things and that God even turns evil to our good. And he also noticed this in his life. He was encouraged and thankful when he was nominated and elected to be an elder of the congregation again 4 years ago. It was his heartfelt desire to serve the Lord. And he spoke well of the Lord and his service. And he noticed God's goodness in his providential dealings. His last year became more difficult physically and mentally. A surgery and treatments were necessary to stop the malignant disease. It was a period with mixed feelings of hope and fear. What stands out for me is that he did not lose his hope in the Lord. Though he knew of affliction, he could not stand if someone would doubt God's goodness and faithfulness. For himself, he would not speak lofty words about what he knew of God's goodness. It was not in his character to say so much, and he was very humble as well. However, in general, he loved to talk about the Lord and his service. For the Lord is good. Your father and grandfather has learned to hope in God's goodness. God's undeserved goodness, of which the text we want to listen to this morning speaks. Psalm 89 is a well-known psalm. The psalm is about God's kingship, about God's goodness and greatness. God reigns in mercy. Who wrote this psalm? The preamble tells us it was penned by Ethan. It's the only psalm we have by this man. Who was he? His name is mentioned a couple of times in Scripture, in combination with the name of the poet of Psalm 88, namely Heman. We find these names in the books of Kings and Chronicles. Probably these are the authors of these psalms. Ethan was among a group of famous sages. He is also mentioned as a Levite who was involved in leading the worship. He lived in the days of King Solomon, you know, the son of David. And he lived in the period of Solomon's successor, Rehoboam. That means that he has also witnessed the sad history of Israel, namely that the kingdom was rent in two. Under Solomon's kingship, Israel was one nation spread over 12 tribes. But after him, the kingdom split. Jeroboam became king over the 10 tribes, while Rehoboam, son of Solomon, became king over only 2 tribes. If Rehoboam had only followed the advice of the elderly people, the kingdom would not have rent. But he did not listen to them. He took counsel with the young men and followed their advice. And this was not the worst of it if he had repented. And yet he left the ways of his grandfather David and father Solomon. And that was the start of the sad history of Judah. Rehoboam left God's covenant made with David and did not obey God's statutes. He started building high places where people worshipped false idols. God's covenant people turned their back to God and lived like the heathens. They had left the Lord. But then the Lord sent his prophets to them. And they announced to Rehoboam that the Lord would forsake his people since they had left him. And the one who departs from the Lord and his covenant may fear many sorrows. The king of Egypt, Shishak, would come and the Lord would give his people into his hand. And so it happened. Shishak came and took all the treasures to Egypt. No gold or silver was left in the country, and even the beautiful temple with all its gold was robbed. That's the background of this psalm. The people had left the Lord. They had broken God's covenant. How sad. And you wonder, what happened after that? Did Rehoboam repent from his sin? No. The only thing we read of him is that he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Unfortunately, this was the chorus throughout Israel's history over the years. Sometimes it was interrupted by a good king that started a reformation, but overall, the disobedience of the people continued. And this should not surprise us when we consider Israel's ancestor. And someone who knows the Bible a bit will say, that was Abraham. Yes, that is right. But who was his ancestor? Who was his ancestor? That was Adam. The disobedience of Adam has affected the whole human race. In fact, disobedience is rebellion against God. And we don't want to serve Him but ourselves. We don't want God on our throne but ourselves. And for that reason, all misery has come into this world. For that reason, even death entered our lives. And Scripture teaches us that sorrow and grief have come into this world by our disobedience. Death has become part of our life, but it does not belong there. God has created us to live and not to die. Death causes fear, loneliness, and sadness. And this morning we are called to bring your father and grandfather to his lasting resting place. It reminds us to the inescapable reality that we all once have to die. Has the Lord opened your eyes for this shocking reality? There's so much reason to humble ourselves before the Lord. We have no right to live. We have forfeited all. And yet, the text we are listening to speaks about singing. How is that possible? We would expect Ethan to make a melancholy song. Ethan could sing. He had only reason he could sing. Not about himself, nor about his people. Oh, if he would do that, he had only reason to mourn. Neither does he sing about his faith and trust in the Lord. No, he sings about God's mercies and faithfulness. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. The text consists of two parts. Both express the same truth, but with different words. Both parts explain each other. And we wonder, what are the mercies of the Lord? Well, the mercy of the Lord is His goodness toward man. It's about God's undeserved goodness. That means that God is good toward us, though we have no rights to it at all. And what is so special about God's mercy is that it comes from God's compassion. God is good because of His compassion on man. And you must know that His compassion is not caused by pity or feeling sorry for man's condition. God's mercy comes from God's own deep feelings, from God's inner being, which He stirs up. His compassion is not generated by others, but by His own inner feelings. And what can be said about His inner feelings? That they are good. God shows His mercy since He is good. And His mercy endures forever. It is the repeated chorus of Psalm 136, for His mercy endures forever. God is good forevermore. It is also expressed in the second half of verse 1, with my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. God's goodness is faithful. The Hebrew word amet is used there. We hear the word amen in it, meaning it shall truly and certainly be. Why? Because God notices something good in His people? Because there is something in man that looks good in God's eyes? No. God is good only because of who He is in Himself. He is faithful. He is merciful. That's God's character. God is faithful to His own word. And that is always in spite of and what we are. in spite of who and what we are. The psalm praises God's mercy and faithfulness. We read in verse 2, "Mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens." And in verse 14, "Mercy and truth shall go before thy face." And more verses could be mentioned. Mercy, God's mercy and faithfulness go together. And we wonder, what shows us God's mercy and faithfulness? What good can there be if all seems desolate and sad? Yet Ethan still notices God's mercy and faithfulness. First of all, in God's good creation. The psalm points to God's faithfulness in his creation. Ethan says, "The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them." God the Creator is also the sustainer of all that lives on the earth. And his mercy is new every day, since every day the Lord shows his goodness, though he is not obliged to. He shows his mercy and faithfulness to all. This does not exclude difficulties and sorrows. Marie knew of the difficulties of life and sorrow as well. And he had to bear his cross, and it was not always easy. And at times he could, but at the same time he could not judge God doing anything wrong. No, under his cross he noticed God's mercy. In what way can we notice God's mercy? Well, in the way he deals with sinners like we all are. Because of our disobedience to God, we increase our debt daily. We are guilty of sin. All we deserve is nothing but God's wrath. And yet, God's mercy prevails. That is the miracle of grace. Just consider for a moment. God's wrath comes from the same source as God's mercy. With our sins, we have offended God's deepest inner feelings. However, from the same inner feelings rises God's mercy. And in a way, we can say that his mercy is superior to his wrath. The Lord says through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 8, "In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer." And God has displayed his mercy in particular by sending his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's mercy toward sinners who are heavy laden under the burden of sin. He has laid the burden of sin, the burden of the world upon his Son. And God has poured out his wrath upon him. And in the way of suffering and death, the Lord Jesus has satisfied God's justice. According to God's justice, we all have to pay for our guilt. God's mercy does not mean that God can overlook our guilt. No, God's mercy means that he rather directs his anger to his Son than to his people who have forfeited all. Isn't that a miracle? God can be merciful to sinners, since the Lord Jesus has paid the penalty we deserve by the price of his shed blood. And all the disobedience and unfaithfulness, yes, the sin and guilt of His church was laid upon Jesus Christ. And He has made perfect satisfaction for them. This is God's mercy, most clearly revealed. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the comfort for all those who grieve under a sense their guilt before God. We can't make it right with God. You are in need of God's mercy. And only because of God's mercy it can become right between you and God. God has no pleasure in your death, but your life, because of His mercy. He takes care of you because of His mercy. Oh, if you get a sight of God's undeserved goodness, your heart will break, because God's goodness shines in the background of your messed up life. And it pleases the Lord when we sense our desperate need of His mercy, so that you will plead for His mercy. Then we don't feel better than the publican who prayed to God with a broken heart and contrite spirit, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And when the Lord teaches you this lesson, you'll have small thoughts of self and great thoughts of God. Of what? Of His goodness, of His mercy and faithfulness. There is no better life than to live from God's mercy, to expect all in life from Him, who is not obliged to give anything to you, but who is pleased to look in mercy upon you. Only because of who He is. And Murray Sommer learned to hope in the Lord's mercy. And when you get a sight of Christ, you begin to see only mercy in all God's work. You can only marvel about God's goodness and faithfulness to such a sinner as you are. Do you understand that your dad and grandfather felt the inner need to speak well of the Lord? About himself, he did not say much. But to others, he spoke well of the Lord and His service. Why? Because God is good. And when I asked him what he wanted me to say about Murray Sommer, he answered me that God is good. And when I asked him last Monday if there was anything that burdened him, he answered, "My children." He said to me, "You must speak well of the Lord." He himself had learned to trust the Lord and His mercy. And the Lord is faithful to His own word. And it saddens him when he heard some speaking of the service of the Lord in a superficial way. Then God is not known and acknowledged in His goodness and mercy. Oh, the Lord does not promise us to keep us from trials and difficulties. And yet He promised to all those who trust in the Lord that mercy shall surround them. When His mercy surrounds you, you are well kept. Though our daily life is stained with many sins, the Lord will not take away His mercy from you. Do you understand Ethan a little bit? "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord." Yes, then you can sing, because God's mercy is better than life. Life itself is already good. Life is a miraculous gift from God, and yet God's mercy is even better than life. How good will it be to experience God's goodness without end and unrestrained? In this lifetime, it is all in part, though not less real. In the midst of all sadness and griefs, may there yet be hope, since God is merciful. God's mercy is also the only hope of an afflicted and fearful soul. If you look at self, there is no reason to be hopeful. But when the Lord opens your eyes for the depravity of your heart, you learn to stop building on something in self. It's a blessing when you run stuck with your self-righteousness or with your reasoning by which you keep God and His Word at bay. A blessing? Yes. Because God is merciful to those who have nothing to offer Him but sin and guilt. His mercy is the opposite of your unfaithfulness. And therefore, a guilty sinner and God's mercy fit so well. It's a blessing when you learn to plead on His mercy, because that prayer will always be answered. And there's nothing more secure than to learn on God's mercy. It is solid like a rock. Have you learned to sing of the mercies of God? That means that you experientially know of God's goodness toward you personally. That you know something of the miracle that you were lost, but that God has found you because of His mercy. And you can only marvel. Why did God find me in my misery? Why did He show His mercy to me while I have only offended Him? And you wonder, what shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? It will take eternity. Yes, it will take eternity to express your praise to the Lord. And the Lord teaches you in this lifetime to sing. In this lifetime, believers may practice singing their songs about God's goodness. And the Lord teaches them by word and spirit in the midst of all trials and afflictions. God is good. And yet, this precious gospel has also a downside. If you are not in need of God's mercy revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in serious danger. Then you despise His mercy. The Lord knocks on the door of your heart. Don't continue life without finding God's mercy personally. Then the day of your death will be the most terrible day of your life. And soon you will meet your Maker. How will that be? If you have not learned to sing the song of God's mercy in this lifetime, you will taste the perpetual bitterness. And then you will not sing, but weep. And today the Lord calls you to repentance. Really, it is so good to sing about God's mercy in this lifetime, to sing about Him who seeks your eternal well-being. In all simplicity, Murray Sommer has sought to express something of God's faithfulness by his lifestyle, by what he said, or by his silence. He did so as father and grandfather, but also as an elder of our congregation. How will you remember your father, your grandfather? How will you remember Murray Sommer? May it be as a man who desired to speak well of the Lord. And may he be an example for you to follow, so that you will sing with the innumerable multitude the song of God's mercy. He lived from God's mercy, and now he may sing of God's mercies without end. He obtained his heart's desire. Doesn't this make you jealous? The Lord is good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him, because he is the Lord. He is the faithful one. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 187, all stanzas. 187, all stanzas. Shall we close with prayer? I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Lord, may that become true for each one of us. May that be our confession. May that be our life, to live not for ourselves, but to live from thy mercies to thy honor and glory. Oh, we so depend on thee and the powerful working of thy Spirit. And we plead thy mercy. May we seek thee. Now we are in the midst of grief and sorrow. Will thou lift up thy countenance upon us and give us peace, peace which is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray to strengthen and comfort the children and grandchildren and all those who are with us together. We pray that thou wouldst teach us to put our hope in thee. Will thou be with us for the remainder of this day? Will thou bless thy word, which we have heard this morning? And will thou go with us when we will lay our dear father and grandfather and brother in his final resting place? We pray to forgive all our sins and to hear us. For Jesus' sake alone. Amen. We will sing Psalter 29, and I will ask you to take the program with you because we hope to sing at the gravesite as well. So we sing Psalter 29.